natural response to a very expensive gift. She sighed, smiling, and looking down at her tennis shoes. I've been trying to get this person to ask me to marry him for years, and he finally did, but the timing was wrong. She looked up at me. I'm interested in somebody else, and he thought the rings would bring me back. It didn't work. No, but I felt bad about throwing them while on the phone with him, and even worse when I couldn't find them. Sounds like a stormy relationship, to say the least. She continued studying her shoes. I studied her. It sounds like you want to tell me about it. Her eyes came up. I guess I just want to talk to someone, and sometimes a relative stranger is best because they're not involved. Dog realized from our tone of voice that the conversation was going to be a lengthier one, so he sidled up the steps and collapsed beside me with one great heaving breath and closed his eyes. She looked alarmed, and I assured her, if we aren't talking about meat products, he gets bored. She didn't look any less puzzled, but I continued. It sounds like more than a personal problem. Tell me, has the Count gotten himself into some kind of trouble I should know about? She stared at me. Possibly. I'm all ears. I reached up and stroked the missing portion, except for the small part of one I lost a few years ago. You're a funny man to be a sheriff. You're not the first person to say that. Now, about the Count. There are people, and mind you, Philippe knows many of them, who will pay for the things they want badly, no matter what the price. I've heard of such people. They are in the habit of getting the things they want. Yep. Philippe is in the business of getting those types of things for those types of people. I see. Sometimes things that aren't supposed to exist. Things like Custer's last fight. She was silent for a moment, then spoke to her feet. I'm feeling bad about being involved in all this. Involved in what, exactly? She practically whispered, I feel as if I've already said too much. Actually, as a man who is the investigator in a case involving a missing legendary painting, $1 million in cash and a man's death, I don't think you've said nearly enough. A man's death? Charlie Lee Stillwater. I thought his death was accidental. I smiled and shook my head. So you know the man? It took her a while to respond. I never said that. Katrina, your accent is very good, but I can still detect just a touch of far western Russia in there somewhere. Possibly St. Petersburg? You see, I had a friend while I was working in Alaska years ago who was from that same region, and you sound remarkably like him. Her voice, along with the Russian umlaut, took on a defensive tone. And what does that have to do with anything? I threw a thumb over my shoulder. I've got four guys who sit out in front of the soldiers and sailors' home who say they've had dealings with people they refer to as the Russians, and as near as I can tell, you, Serge, and Philippe are the only ones who fit that bill. I've said too much. Possibly. But this conversation took a professional turn for me, and now I'm going to need you to answer some more questions. She looked toward the door but didn't move, only folding her arms. I don't really know more than what I've told you. You need to talk to Philippe. I stood, aware that I was towering over her. I guess I do. Am I under arrest? No, but I think I'll have you accompany me over to the Count's house for a little chat and to get things straightened out. Now? No time like the present. I really don't want to go over there for personal reasons. I really don't care. You come in here and open this can of worms, and now you want to just turn around and walk away? I'm afraid I can't allow that. Right now, the only thing I've got you on would be conspiracy and collusion to the tune of grand larceny. But that's certainly enough to detain you if you continue to not cooperate. You know what I said about you being a funny man to be a sheriff? I take that back. Okay. But in the meantime, let's just be two folks taking a 20-minute ride to a guy's house and having a conversation about what the heck is going on around here. Okay. One more thing? She turned to look at me. Yes? Do you still want your rings? Story is on the frontier of two counties, Sheridan and mine. A picturesque western community that boasts of a couple of supper clubs and inns, along with a gas station and a guest house known as the Waldorf Astoria. Having long been a haven for the independently minded along the foothills of the Bighorn Mountains, it is popular with the artistic set. Taking the exit near the fishery, I glance over to see her admiring the engagement ring that she'd been reacquainted with as she turned to look at me. That woman who was with you the other night, I understand she's your second in command?
She is my under-sheriff.
And is she more than that?
I gave her a sidelong glance. I'm sorry, but that's really none of your business.
She laughed. Oh, come on now, Sheriff. I've been dumping all my personal problems out for you. Don't you think turnabout is fair play?
What leads you to believe my personal situation is any problem?
Oh, they all are, aren't they?
Not really.
I must be doing something wrong.
I turned left into Story proper, past the manicured lawns and small log cabins, passing the town sign and firehouse.
Where to? Keep going straight, then right on Lauk's and left on Route 2 toward Penrose Trailhead.
I did as she said, and we followed North Piney Creek west to where the road turned to gravel.
I never even knew there were houses out here. Only one. Do you know the story?
I heard it's a castle.
She shook her head. Actually, the barn of a small abbey in Ireland that the Count had disassembled, brought over, and reconstructed.
At a reasonable price, I'm sure.
She sighed, scrunching into the seat. Like I said, Philippe knows people who, if they want something, they get it, and a little of that might have rubbed off.
Making a long left, we brushed near the creek, where there was an opening in the trees with an expansive lawn and, in the glow of the half-moon, a genuine old-world building of large stones. The main entrance was at the center with a portico, and the roof appeared to be rounded tile. Easing to a stop, I could see where two wings shot from the back, obviously a more modern design with glass walls and multiple floors, and exposed circular staircases where some lights were on. The workmanship was remarkable, and the entire building, even though from different centuries, worked together to give a breathtaking appearance. As I stopped, she cracked open her door. He had more native stone shipped over from Ireland to match the original Tithe barn. Closing the door and enclosing dog, I looked at the main structure.
At some barn.
She shrugged. He got it cheap.
Why?
It's haunted. I turned and looked at her.
Really?
By what? Unpaid contractors?
The Spanish lady.
As we walked toward the front entrance, she started to tell the story. After the sinking of the Spanish Armada off the coast of Ireland, the British Navy seized a number of the ships that were still floating and ran them aground, taking the crew prisoners. Since there were no proper prisons, they housed the Spanish where they could, putting them up in barns and other such buildings.
And this is one of them?
Close to 100 men were kept in this very building as valuable trading commodities, but the locals were none too happy about them, and neither were the local Catholic sympathizers. There was a woman who fell in love with one of the sailors and brought him food, only to be caught and hanged as a traitor. We stopped at the front door. She's been described as the Spanish lady and can be seen gliding along the lane, shrouded in a flowing mantilla, a ghostly specter in the moonlight.
Does she answer doorbells?
Let's find out. She pushed the illuminated button, and we listened to the chimes inside. Pulling out my pocket watch, I noted the time. Only 9 o'clock. Does he go to bed early?
Never.
Reaching out, she pressed the heavy lever and swung the door open.
Philippe, you have guests.
We stood there for a moment more, and then she entered, and I followed. He does, though, take naps or work in his library at the far back of the building. Entering the front room, I glanced around, taking in what looked like the main hall of a hunting lodge, complete with flags and a staggering amount of taxidermy mounts.
He hunts?
Continuing on, she headed toward an opening to the left, antique shops and estate sales. I stopped to thumb through the stacks of canvases leaning against every wall, then followed her through a formal dining room. She flipped on the lights and entered a commercial-grade kitchen with stainless steel counters, appliances, and a wall-size wine cooler. There was a half-eaten sandwich on a plate and an empty wine glass along with a burned-out cigarette in a marble ashtray on the center island next to a soapstone sink. Gesturing toward the repast, I glanced around. Well, he's here. Or was recently. He eats all the time and never gains a pound. Continuing toward the back, she called out again, Philippe! She rounded the center island and pulled up short. Her hand came to her mouth, and she backed away. Is there something wrong? She stopped, and I continued forward where I could see a large pool of blood and bloody handprints sliding down the shiny surface of a massive refrigerator. There was a large Japanese cooking knife lying on the floor, also covered in blood. I pulled out my Colt and turned off the safety on the large frame semi-automatic, the metallic snap being the only sound in the room. Come on. Rushing her back through the dining room and entry hall, I pushed open the door and ushered her to my truck to place her inside. Grabbing the mic from my dash, I keyed it and called in to the Sheridan County Sheriff's Department and spoke to a nice young woman who promised to send the entire personnel along with any armed janitorial staff they might have there in the building. I handed the mic to Katrina, telling her to give the address to the dispatcher and to lock the doors, stay in the truck, and assist them in getting here if they needed it. Holding the mic as if she might crush it, she nodded, Right. Whatever you do, don't get out of the truck. Right. Shutting the door and locking it, I headed back in, allowing the beam from my mag light to lead the way. I switched on all the lights as I went until finally arriving back in the kitchen area, where it still looked as if a pig had been butchered. As I stared at the scene, I was pretty sure we weren't going to find him in the bathroom, unless someone had hauled him there to cut him the rest of the way up in the tub. Glancing around, I could see no other signs of blood, no splatter or drag mark to show where the body might have been moved, nothing. I continued down the hallway into a sitting area. I kept looking for blood, but once again didn't see anything. I stepped into the next room and reached over and turned on the lights. There was a space that was even larger than the others we had been in, with tables, desks, and rows of large art and research books. When it was in order, I'm sure that it was breathtakingly beautiful, with the stone floors, glass walls, and rough-hewn rafters, but at the moment, it was a disaster. Bookshelves had been overturned, desks cleared, and most of the furniture was scattered and upset, much in the same way Charlie Lee's room had been destroyed up at the home. Trailing the Colt across the room, I could hear no noise, and nothing moved, so I stepped in closer to the large oak library table and peered down at the books that remained there. I saw what I'd expected. Custer, Custer, and more Custer. There were the usual history books, some non-fiction, and even a few novels, along with tome after tome of Western art books, mostly from the 19th century, and at the center of the table, a few enlargements of portions of the Adams' piece. I picked up the one where the cavalryman was fighting for his life against the determined Zulu warrior and then flipped it back onto the flat surface. I started toward the other wing, pausing to take in the carefully planted trees, bushes, and flower beds under a huge skylight at the center of the house. No wonder Philippe had felt more at home in the garden at the museum. There was another hallway, and I entered with the .45 at the ready, then moved along the wall and spotted one of the stairwells that circled to the second floor, which must have been a hayloft back when the Abbey barn held horses and incarcerated Spaniards. The treads were metal and clanged, no matter how carefully I climbed, but I finally made it. It was another large room with a king-size bed and French furniture and a picture window overlooking the garden below. The room was in general disarray, but nothing like the ones downstairs. The bed covers were pulled back, and it looked like there might have been some activity in there recently. Clothes littered the floor, and there were plates and glasses strewn on every surface, but nothing that spoke to anything other than the owner being a wealthy slob. There was some movement to the left, and I swung around to take aim at a startled black-and-white cat, or what my grandparents used to refer to as tuxedo, that froze coming out of the bathroom. Lowering my weapon, I took a breath. Howdy, jellical cat. Are you one of the practical cats from Old Possum's book? The feline leapt from the floor onto the bed and stared at me. If you killed him or T.S. Eliot, you might as well come clean. She continued to regard me and finally meowed. I should warn you that anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. She licked a paw. Holstering my Colt, I glanced around and sighed. Yep, that's the response I usually get. Chapter 11. Well, at least you were already making the trip. He sighed, stretching the cuffs of his plastic gloves. This is cutting into my fishing time. Sitting on one of the already dusted stools, I watched as Woody Woodson applied some sort of adhesive pad to the refrigerator over the handprint and stood looking at his wristwatch. So, what are you thinking? He glanced at the floor and shook his head. I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking. Nobody loses this much blood and lives. How long was the blood here? As near as we can tell from tactility analysis, about 3 hours before you arrived. He glanced at me, reading my expression as I looked toward the glass ceiling. Where did he go? There are no drag marks, spatter off scene, drops, nothing. I know, he stroked his beard. It's a puzzler. Did you look in the refrigerator? His face took on a panicked expression, but I assured him, don't worry, I did. You know, you keep treating me like this and you're going to stop getting Jiffy service. He glanced around. As near as we can tell, there's no way you could clean up in that amount of time, so the body had to be put in something. But like you said, there's no drag marks, nothing. A young man in a blue windbreaker with a large DCI lettering on the back came in and took the print that Woody peeled off the refrigerator. Sample that, then scan it and get me the results. The young man disappeared as Woody went back to working the floor. The knife? Bagged, but from preliminary analysis it had no tissue remnants. Prints? Loud and clear. Chances? Actually pretty good. He was a world traveler and was printed by at least 4 other countries, along with artistic conservation groups of which he was a member. If it's him, we'll know in no time. He glanced around at the extravagant home. Art collector, huh? I think he sold more than he collected. He smiled and shook his head. You know what the most watched television show down in Rawlins happens to be? Prison Break? Antiques Roadshow. You're kidding. Nope, we're breeding a more knowledgeable crop of thieves. I stood, stretching my shoulder muscles. You need me? For what, play by play? I've got to go do some fence mending with one of my fellow sheriffs. Turning, he studied me. How are you doing, Walt? I stopped. In what sense? In the, I heard you went to Mexico a couple of months ago and killed a bunch of people sense. Yep, well, I sighed, which flattened my lungs like a punctured tire. They didn't give me much choice on that. He nodded and continued to look at me before changing the subject. I saw your daughter at one of the Attorney General's functions over in Cheyenne. How did she look? Breathtaking. He paused for just an instant. Reminded me a lot of Martha. Tell her I said hi the next time you see her. Before he could respond, I turned and headed out, but his muffled voice rose up from the floor. I'll let you know if I find the body. Walking back into the main room past the temporary tables that DCI had set up, I spotted Sheridan County Sheriff Carson Brandis standing near the door with another individual I recognized. The young sheriff glanced up at me, gesturing toward Conrad Weston. You know this jaybird? Informally, yes. Weston turned to me. Philip is dead? There's some blood and the Division of Criminal Investigations Crime Lab is here. Blood? Yep. How much blood? How can I help you, Mr. Weston? Sheriff Brandis yawned. He says he's got some personal items in there that he needs. Well, I'm afraid at the moment this house is a crime scene, and we can't have anything disturbed. He stared at me. The entire house? For now, yes. I studied him back. Do you mind telling me when the last time was you saw the count? Brandis interrupted. Excuse me, the what? He was a count, supposedly. Weston crossed his arms. Are you accusing me of something? As a known associate and employee, it's possible that you may have been the last person to see Philip Lehman. Alive? So he is dead? Mr. Weston, so far there is no body, but considering the circumstances, alive or dead, we are concerned as to his whereabouts. I'm sure you understand. He waited his response. I saw him early yesterday evening when I brought some papers over, contracts for some artwork he'd sold. How did he seem at the time? He thought about it. Distracted? Maybe a little worried? About? These are big contracts. There was a lot of money involved. Can you think of anyone who might want to do Mr. Lehman harm?
No, I mean, no.
You were going to mention someone?
Well, you met him the other night, Serge.
The bodyguard.
Yes.
Philippe owed him some money, and Serge made the remark that he was going to get the money from him the hard way if he had to.
The hard way?
Yes. Any idea where Serge was last night?
No.
Any idea where he is now? He was in Sheridan. He has a room there somewhere. I glanced at Brandis, who pulled out his cell phone and walked away as I turned back to Wesson. Hard to be a bodyguard from 20 miles away. Philip didn't allow him on the premises full time. He said he was oafish.
And yourself?
He barked a laugh.
Myself what?
Where did you go after you dropped off the papers last night?
So now I am a suspect?
Just covering all the bases.
If you have a reasonable alibi, we don't have to trouble you again.
I was at a party in the clubhouse at the Powderhorn by 6 p.m.
Any witnesses?
About 70 of them.
Well, there you go.
Can I get my papers now?
No. As I explained, nothing can be disturbed until DCI is finished. Adjusting my hat back, I looked at him. If you don't mind my saying so, you don't seem particularly upset.
Sheriff, you say there's blood but no body, and you refuse to surmise as to whether the man is dead, so Philippe might turn the corner and come walking in, right?
We can hope.
Well, indeed, there you go. Am I free to leave?
Yep. He started to, but then turned and leaned in.
Just so you know, Sheriff, Philippe was a real piece of shit, although he didn't warrant killing. Even so, you'd have a hard time finding enough people to mourn him to cover around a bridge.
I watched him go out through the open door and then turned to my fellow sheriff. Hey, Sheriff. He hung up his phone, his face lined with fatigue. Hey, Sheriff. Want to talk sheriff stuff?
Sure.
I pulled up a chair and he sat in the one opposite.
It was just a social call.
The tall, lean young man laughed a response. It seemed like all the sheriffs in Wyoming were younger than I was.
Do all your social calls end like this?
Not generally.
Hey, I've got a county jurisdictional deal for you. You take Story, and we'll take Claremont.
Claremont is already one of your towns.
I knew you wouldn't go for it.
He looked at me. There are a lot of people in this state that think you're kind of a pain in the ass, Walt.
Are you one of them?
As a matter of fact, I'm not. But the next time something like this comes up, I'd appreciate a call.
It wasn't business.
It's always business with you, Walt. He shook his head. If you come over here to go to the grocery store, I'm going to send people out to scour the frozen food section for a body.
It was a small lecture, but a lecture nonetheless. You want it?
No, what I want is the courtesy of a phone call.
Is that too much to ask?
I pulled in my horns.
No, no, it's not.
He studied me for a moment more.
I'm glad to hear that.
I nodded and studied my boots.
Do you remember Sundown Pierce?
Hell yeah. He locked me and my brother up in that ancient historic jail during Claremont days one time, and then forgot about us. Came out the next morning and took us into Sheridan and bought us breakfast at the palace.
He and Lucian had a turf war one time.
Really? I'd have paid to see that.
Lucian ran over his foot and broke three toes, and Sundown shot out the back window of Lucian's old Nash.
He laughed and shook his head.
Crazy old bastards.
Yep.
He studied me. And you're the last one.
I'm not crazy.
You know the first sign of crazy?
Saying you're not.
He grinned a consummate political smile, and it was easy to see how he'd been elected.
You got it.
I studied him back and then looked through the open doorway at the lawn outside and the assemblage of vehicles.
Yep. Well, how's Katrina?
Out in the truck? Hey, she's cute. Are you going to get in trouble with Vic?
No, she's usually with me when the bodies turn up.
Katrina Dijon, French?
By way of Russia.
His face twisted. We picked up a Russian very late last night. Kicked some guy in the head at the Mint Bar.
His name wouldn't be Serge Bushirov. Might be. Can you hold him? As long as you'd like, the victim is still unconscious. Do it. He might be involved with all this. He glanced around. Oh, my, like one of those Russian nesting dolls, two crimes for the price of one? Might be. I looked at the younger version of myself and thought about how many times I'd wished someone had given him the advice I was about to give to Carson Brandis. Why don't you go home? I'm thinking about it. Don't think. Go. I smiled and set out for the parking lot where Dijon was indeed sitting on the tailgate of a Sheridan County Sheriff's Department pickup. She was sipping a cup of what I assumed was coffee with dog sitting at her feet. Your dog is begging coffee. That's because I only give him decaf. Laurie Saunders, the silver-haired chief detective over in Sheridan County, laughed the way she always did at my jokes, one of the many reasons I really liked her. I let your dog out.
I figured.
Can I have him?
No.
I'll treat him better than you do.
Everybody treats him better than I do. That's why I don't have to.
Laurie stood. You will make sure this nice lady and your dog get home?
No more questions.
No more questions for now. Get her home.
I saluted. Will do.
Helping Katrina off the tailgate, I closed it and we watched as Laurie fired up her Suburban.